Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Red Planetary Moon, and it is the 10th day of the Yellow Sun Wave Spell, and it is Spectral Moon Day 16. And I'll just say very briefly that it is, of course, now the third week of the moon. The moon is 28 days long. There are 4 weeks that are 7 days each. We recognize the week lengths. It's the same as our week. And each one is oriented to one direction, the medicine wheel. And now we're in the west, where it's blue, where the night falls. And we descend into darkness and the dream time. And the magic begins, and also the disorientation and the surrealism, because we can't see sharply with the sun's piercing light. So we have to draw on our imagination. We have to feel our way through things. We can't rely on mental acuity. It's balancing mental acuity to be in this much more watery realm of the unconscious, streaming unconscious. And change happens in the West, the place of transformation. And so we'll be catalyzed into transformation this week. And it can look and feel like intensity, acceleration of speed of experience, whether it's feelings or occurrences. There can be heightened synchronicity. And you can also just feel like the traction of some part of your life evolving, changing, transforming. And it's related to the spectral moon. So it's sort of like every moon has their moment of taking us through the west, through the night. And this is the spectral moon's moment of doing so. So when we're talking about the moon's themes of liberating, releasing, dissolving, then we are going to find all that accelerated and intensified now. Those qualities are taking larger space in us because they are on their way to being physicalized in our lives as we move to the south, the week in the south, the final week where everything ripens and is considered, you know, earthen instead of air, not fire, not water, but earth. This is the birthing, the alchemical process of something moving from air or spirit to that earth or embodied manifestation. So it has to happen right now. It's like very much about magic. How do you get something from air to earth? We're doing that this week. I always pay attention. I kind of look forward to it because I'm a blue storm. I like transformation or catalyzing change. So I live in the West, and I kind of like how it feels to see everything peak. Okay, so there's a lot on my mind, and I'm going to talk about the personality slash my private life side of Mayan astrology first, because I have something on my mind. I will contextualize that it is not a personal loss to me, but it is really a public loss that's wrapped up in a lot of synchronicity, and that feels personal to me, that I have this Mayan astrological insight that nobody cares about, and I don't mean that in a like complainy way. It's just like nobody cares about the correlations between this larger event with some kind of public persona. So I'm going to talk about it here and belie that I really do pay attention to things that are on the internet and I live an hour and a half from Hollywood, so I am in its radius of immediate affect. I guess it feels neighborly to pay attention to what is happening in Tinseltown. So maybe that surprises you. I'm not surprised. I've always been into movies since I was tiny. But we don't talk about that here very much. Let's do that now. So there is a public figure named Mark Maron, who's one of the original podcasters and probably the most infamous. He really instigated the medium by recording in his garage interviews with fellow comedians, and that evolved to him being handpicked by Obama's young progressive staff to interview the president in his garage in Los Angeles back when he was the president. So that brought him some notoriety, and I've only been listening to Mark Maron for 2 or 3 years, but I listen, as they say, religiously. He puts a podcast up twice a week. I always listen. I welcome it. He is also sober, in recovery, in that program. So I feel kinship with him. It's kind of like a really multidimensional recovery meeting or meetup to listen to him. So following Mark Maron's, he inspires most people to be really flagrantly honest and put their personality out on the air in podcasting. I think I had that habit pattern long before I ever heard of him or heard him directly. But, you know, there's an affinity there because we are both what I would call oversharers. And so I really like Mark Maron. I also find him to be a celebrity, arrogant, and for someone in recovery, he seems to be missing a few of the key elements of surrender and humility, but that's probably harder for people that are mid-level celebrities and get to interview, you know, super maximal level celebrities on their show. So it's hard for him, I guess, to bring it all the way down to the purest level of disengaging with ego. He talks a lot about disengaging with ego, which makes it worse. But that's exactly like the recovery movement. A lot of people sitting around talking loud and proud about not having an ego. It's kind of like an Ouroboros. Like, what? Well, you sound egoic when you're talking about not having ego. So I'm sure I do that as well. Apologize. It seems like if I can see it, then I probably do it. Anyway, I had an experience where I correspond with Mark Maron occasionally because he reads emails, and there have been things that I've wanted to say, sometimes favorable, sometimes a little bit confrontational, but I'm just trying to worm my way into recent history where I reached out to him sort of impulsively because he had been sort of denigrating of his girlfriend who had moved in during the quarantining, just in order a matter of convenience so they could quarantine together. And I was like, God, it's for someone who has really spoken out against the toxic masculinity that interferes with all human relationships, you know, he's sort of exhibiting that, and reached out, mentioned it, I think, in a kind of upbeat way, not super punitive. And we had an email exchange, and it was just an interesting experience because obviously why would he listen to a stranger? And I wasn't trying to be super didactic, but I'm the blue overtone storm. Like, there's going to be some of that confrontation in there. And when I saw his response, which seemed more arrogant than anything he had ever let come to air, like if you're in a private engagement with him, he had way more indignation and intolerance than he does when he's public, on public presentation. All I did was observe that I, you know, probably shouldn't be emailing with celebrities, and that he was pretty irritating. And all of this leads up to the Mayan astrology piece, which was the first day of the wave spell that challenges him. So let me offer this up to you as a reflection for your own life. Mark Maron is a red galactic earth. That means his opposite energy is blue hand. I emailed with him the first day of the blue hand wave spell, which was not long ago, like 22 days ago, blue magnetic hand. And I, after the exchange where he was flared up and indignant and arrogant, I was all, oh, that's cool. Like, it's his antipode. You know, he's he's not super comfortable with this. He's not at all comfortable with the Trump administration. And Donald Trump is also a blue hand and his antipode. So that makes perfect sense as well. That's just sort of like really basic Mayan astrology, is sometimes you can't stand the people that are your antipode. But lots of people can't stand Donald Trump. So finally, I sort of disengaged from the Marc Maron experience after that. Still listening, but not with as much excitement. And I heard him talking about how he might have to put his cat down. He has already had to euthanize his oldest cat this year, and he has three. And then her brother, who's similarly aged and old, is on the verge of dying during the quarantine. And then meanwhile, his girlfriend was sick. And it wasn't COVID-19 because she'd been tested, but she had flu-like symptoms. And he was talking about how the flu kits, you know, we still get the flu, we still get sick, even if we're like staying home and wearing masks and we don't get COVID-19, we can get something else. And that was wild and weird, but she's going to be okay. And he talked about how he was as a caregiver. And he also, you know, made the joke that, like, you know, she wasn't going to have to get euthanized. She would bounce back even if the cat had to go. And so this is now red planetary moon. Yesterday was yellow solar star. Yellow solar star, the headline hit, you know, most publications that this woman who's a director in Hollywood and a filmmaker, an independent filmmaker, had died. And she died suddenly from an undetermined predisposed but unidentified blood disorder. And she was 54 years old. She couldn't have been prettier, you know, in terms of her, I would say, heart and soul and visage. Just, I mean, I've seen pictures of her for a year. I have been tuned into their relationship and found her sort of fascinating for her sweetness and her films and such. So she died. She died on Blue Galactic Hand, which was Friday. So this is a long story because it's really emotional for me. Like, I want to be really emotional about this woman dying on behalf of Marc Maron, mostly because, you know, my belief is that she's died and she's at peace where she is, even though she has a son and she was 1 year into probably one of the most important romantic relationships, you know, of her life. And so all the novelty in her career was ascending, and she's just a lovely being, and she's gone, but she's probably, you know, all of that in the light, the yellow sun wave spell, that she has gone to the source, but not those who are left behind, right? That's obviously not something I came up with, that those who are left behind are the ones that lack and long for and miss someone's presence. So I feel it a lot about Marc Maron, and I think because we don't have much COVID in my community, let alone, you know, most of the affluent West Coast communities, we don't have a lot of it. That this is just like a version of feeling like, oh, actual death, actual capitulation to disease, rather than capitulation to bipartisan horror, or capitulation to Trump's inanity, or capitulation to the economy crashing from all of the surrounding adjustments. Like, those are things I think about, but not so much who's dying around me. And in the yellow sun wave spell, I talked last podcast about how it really is the completion of a 20-stage cycle. It is the completion of one round of the circle that takes us through an acknowledgement of every important totem to the Maya, as well as it being a journey, a storyline from beginning to end. And the beginning is the birth, and then the end is the light. And then the light also is the seed for the next conception that becomes a birth. And in this time, there is a lot of light and less shadow. And I think that Lynn Shelton, you know, is a perfect, she's a perfect like emblem of that, even though she herself was a yellow overtone warrior. She was yellow and she was a portal and she was a fighter. And or she was a perseverant, trained, disciplined, martial person, and she was empowered, empowering. That's the overtone. She had that force of the fifth stage where everything is radiant and released from, like, dimensionality, released from the blueprint of being drawn on paper and takes life. And so she had all that overtone stuff, which I relate to being overtone. It can be a little overbearing, but she sure seemed loved. And the last thing I'm going to say about it, this is, again, this is why I'm talking about it, but it takes me 16 minutes to get here because it's just so emotional for me to look at synchronicities. So she died on Marc Maron's exact antipode. He's a red galactic earth. Blue hand is his challenge, his opposite, his balancing power. Blue galactic hand is his exact antipode, challenge, balance. And it means he's 130 days from where he lives, you know, where he was born. And it's a circle, 260 days, like an orbit. And we start, you know, in one star system, but 130 days later, the middle of the cycle of our own 260 day genesis, we are as far from home as we can be. We're on the opposite side of our own galaxy. You know, I come from this star 130 days later. I am on the other side of the sun from my star home. And then I'll come back here in 130 days. So in that time, that exact day, Marc Maron suffered this indescribable loss. And I'm not going to email him about that. Like, I'm just like, I have to talk about it here because it's just the quandary, which may have resonance for some of you, relevance, to know the system and see the synchronicities and not need to indoctrinate anyone, so they also do, but sometimes having no one to talk to about it, because, you know, you'd kind of have to know who Marc Maron was and what his Mayan day was and his relationship to Lynn Shelton, and then, you know, what her death represents, which is the ultimate challenge, the most extreme drawing away from self into other in order to find harmony. So I had to talk about it for the whole podcast, and I'm just hoping there's some way that it reminds you of your own life, or it teaches you some little anecdotal part of your own history, because this is for you. You know, I'm not trying to get you to know about me or a couple of people that live in LA, but it's a strange time. Obviously, we all experience that. And this is just one of these things that feels super transcendent to me, even though it's tragic. All right, I have to stop. Thanks for listening. I had a story to tell. Now, to get into the current mode, I think we've covered the spectral moon. Like, that's attended to. That's why I felt like I had a little bit of the luxury of going off in that alternate direction. Because, you know, I think we know what the spectral moon is like. Falling, flying, unfurling, release of energy, you know, being liberated from tension, being liberated from a charging ascendancy, and just dropping back. It's kind of the exhalation, some kind of relief, maybe some disappointment or disorientation. I'll say that the way it looks like moving around in the world, at least in the American world, it's like, well, I don't know what the hell is going on. Like, I can't even find newspaper articles that tell me what's going on because there is so much noise about people's reaction to what's going on that I honestly don't even know. I'm sure I could do better research, but I have to localize my life and just be like, what is happening in my life here? And I think that's very spectral, because spectral is not linear. It's not logical. It isn't pointed in a direction. It's constantly changing because we're tumbling spinning, and so we can't like get a point to set our gaze because it changes so quickly. So in that disorientation, I think we're just, as I said, in a free fall, and we can know that we're not going to crash and hurt ourselves. It's not like that. It's just that we don't have traction. It is, you know, a bit like falling down the temple stairs, except we're not going to die. And so that's the spectral moon, and it's intensified this last week. This last week is not the final week, but it's the last intense week of the moon. So the yellow sun wave spell, which is finishing up, this today is the planetary day of it, so it's the peak of the wave. I think you're starting to understand, if you're relatively new, like, look, planetary is always the peak of the wave. Spectral is always the dissolution of the wave. And then we'll learn about crystal together. But we have been marching through this 13 moon year together, perhaps some of us the whole time. And so every time we move through a 28-day moon, we have a really ripe, evolved experience of the tone in question. So as we get to the end of these 13 moon years, you know, we were awake and alive, attentive to the magnetic moon, the lunar moon, the electric moon, the self-existing moon, overtone moon, rhythmic moon, resonant moon, galactic moon, solar moon, planetary moon, now the spectral moon. So we can then turn to the 13-day wave spells and be like, oh yeah, I mean, I remember what she said about the planetary moon, and here we're at the planetary day again. And you feel it as well. Oh, back to planetary. We're in the spectral moon, but we're in a planetary day, so there's some traction. And yet it's red planetary moon. Red moon is all about water, so how much traction is there? Instead, the manifestation day that we're in is a manifestation of water and tidal shifts. So we're not really manifesting a rock today, even though it's planetary. We're manifesting the waters of the planet, and how they move, and they're fluid, and how we on the planet ourselves, full of water in our bodies, also are fluid, are moved, are moody. It's kind of, you know, I was thinking about it the last couple of days off and on, like, so the manifestation day of the yellow sun wave spell is the moon. What does that mean? So I'm going to throw it out like this, because I, of course, got an answer. That, you know, I talked early on the yellow sun wave spell. I remember it was kind of new information for me. Therefore, like, kind of channeled. I was like, oh, the sun is when there's no shadows. Yellow sun is a time when there's just light. We are not dragged into shadows. We don't know where they are. Like, we can get overbaked. I'm like developing a tan here in Southern California, and I was laughing because I wanted to be in the sun more in this yellow sun wave spell. And there's no shadows when you're wandering around in the ocean's edge. So there is shadow, though, when we get to red moon, because red moon, the picture of the moon in the sky, the reason we know it's out there is because it is showing us the sun on its face. And of course, it shows shadow and sunlight depending on where it is positioned. And we see that as lunar phases. So the moon is fantastic, but it doesn't have any light emissions from its own source. And so it's just a very beautiful thing that when we get the manifestation day, we get the moon. Like, the sun gave us the moon in our sights by reflecting off its surface. But it also showed us in the moon that there is actually shadow. And so I think that after having these 9 days of brilliant light, sort of unextinguishable light that you can't avoid, that can feel really clarifying and also sort of vaporize us, or a bit dehydrated, you know, just in our thought process and not super emotional. I think that dropping into this manifestation, we're kind of creating a pivot or an alternate reality, that the manifestation of the sun ends up taking us back to an examination of polarity or shadow, or just that, you know, okay, the sun shines on this but not that, and that's how we see difference in the world, distinction, because it's a metaphor. You know, the sun, the source, the Godhead, shines brilliantly on us, on our planet, but there is a part of the planet and a part of us that it can't penetrate, and that's our shadow realm. And you know, there is a lot of darkness that lives there that can feel despicable, you know, whether it's our own defective personalities and sordid egotism, or you know, it's an unconscious place where we're just ignorant. And beyond that, there's just a lot of parts of ourselves that we don't know about that aren't negative. They're not dark because they're bad. They're just undiscovered. And so the sun goes as far, you know, God, shorthand word, God reaches as far as God can into us, around us, and isn't perfect, you know. And so there will be residue that is still out of reach of that divinity. And I think that's what red planetary moon is, but it's not bad. I just think it's going to be more of an emotion-filled day, or there'll be some kind of emoting or mood or vulnerability, tenderness that differentiates it from most of the way of spell to date. And then tomorrow, I think I'll push us forward a bit, because tomorrow is something to anticipate a bit if you want to learn about, you know, the cycles and what we're doing here. I'm giving you a heads up that you can wake up to tomorrow, Monday, 15, 16, 17, May 18th. You can wake up to May 18th, Monday, and see, like, what does this day feel like? Because Lisa Starr said it might feel different, and here's why. It's a spectral day and a spectral moon, so you get to really dial into what the spectral experience is for yourself. I've given you some diagrams, but now you get to have your own, you bear witness to it. And it's also white dog, because every spectral day in a wave spell is always a reference to being the opposite of where we began. It's 10 days after the beginning point. Our opposites, opposite finger and toe, are always 10 apart. Yellow sun is the right thumb. White dog is the left thumb. So we start at yellow magnetic sun, and 10 days later when it's spectral, we're going to be in our antipode experience of the wave spell, which is perfect, right? Because that's when it falls apart. And the ascendancy of yellow sun, the manifestation, is behind us. It is now dissolving. So that's really how it always is structured, that we get 10 stages to have a peak experience of the wave spell. The wave spell being yellow sun, we're going to have a peak experience of yellow sun on the 10th day, the planetary day. Then a different energy, a balancing energy, is going to sort of take over and have influence, and things are falling apart or falling back to earth at the same moment. And it's releasing what has been polarized. Like, so we've been tipped over to yellow sun, way far away from white dog, full on yellow sun experience. And then finally, after 10 days, it's the moment then white dog gets to, you know, come back into the picture and have some presence. And in fact, not stronger than yellow sun, I wouldn't say, but if you are a white dog person, you know, you've been in your antipode wave spell, and it might feel like a relief to come back, to be liberated, to have a role, to be named. And that would be true of any antipode wave spell that you go through. It's just like, well, you might have these struggles and challenges and things to learn, but when things are spectral, they come back to you, and perhaps there is a sense of relief. And that kind of takes me back to Marc Maron, who I had interfaced with on blue magnetic hand. Like, I didn't really consciously track and see how he was doing when it got to be red spectral earth, partly because I was sort of annoyed with him, but I did sort of in the back of my mind go, oh, hopefully when now it's red spectral earth, he's happy. It's his time. We all deserve to be at peace. So when we move towards White Dog tomorrow, you will find the opportunity to feel in your heart loyalty, tribal, sometimes romantic connection that has been, I could tell this whole time, sublimated, you know, that we're way beyond like attachment and romantic love and, you know, kind of like camaraderie even, that there's all this etherizing of Eros so that we can just be with the sun god and be the sun god and live in the realm of, you know, pure light. Again, without shadow, it's just like, you know, time in the desert, you know, time in the height of summer where everything is just so bright that we lose even our sense of, you know, where we end and the sun begins. But that's going to come back into form tomorrow. So that's my parting astrological salute. Thanks for listening to my morning process. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.